John's Gospel in verse 35. We're very familiar with this passage. So let me say this. We're as familiar with this passage as we are with having a missions conference, at least at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Now, you may not have been here for very long, and you don't really know what all that means, but for 13 years, we have held a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday meeting with missionaries who are called to go abroad, some to plant churches here in America, some to go to other foreign countries. And as I said to our choir, it would be foolish for us to take an opportunity like missions conference and to treat it like it was just a Wednesday service. It really would behoove us to say, you know what, Lord, you know what we need? We need fresh oil. We need a fresh anointing of God. And that's what God put on my heart this last week as I was seeking the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, I'll keep going in Deuteronomy, but we've got missions conference coming up. And if you want me to speak on that, just to prepare our hearts for missions conference and to talk to our church family as a pastor, then I want you to please guide me. And man, he did. And I'm so thankful that he did. And I'm here to share that with you tonight. In John chapter 4, we're familiar with this story also. This is the Samaritan woman at the well. And she has really taken what Christ had to offer, which was himself. And now she's gone into the city. And as immoral as this woman was with having five husbands and now living in immorality with one that is not hers, she goes to, the Bible specifically says, the men of the city and tells them, come and see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. Come and meet the Messiah. Well, you know the story. They run out, and as the disciples come back, they're kind of like, what's going on? You know, what's happening? That's where we pick up the story in verse 35. In fact, they're kind of thinking, hey, did somebody give him something to eat? Because we went into Jack in the Box, and we got him like two jumbo tacos and a jumbo jack and some curly fries and a Diet Coke, because you know the Lord was on a diet always. And we've come back, and he says, he's saying, look, did somebody give me? He says, my meat is to do the will of God. More important than food to me, he's saying, is the will of God. Now, it says here in verse 33, let's say in 35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. So he's appealing to them on their own knowledge. Behold, I say unto you, notice the phrase, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. Church, what's the next word there? Together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. The heartbeat, I believe, of God is missions. Now, you don't have to believe that. But based on what I know from Scripture, I believe that the heartbeat of God is missions. That is, in case you don't understand what Bible missions is, that is people taking the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and telling it to people who have never heard the gospel. Once they have been baptized and organized as a New Testament Bible-believing church, the goal of that missionary then is to move to another location to start another church after the manner of the Apostle Paul as laid out in Scriptures. You really don't get any more concise than that. Missions is about an individual pulling into town like Berea, like Thessalonica, like Corinth, like Ephesus, like Galatia, and getting with people who are willing to listen to the gospel. And when they have trusted Christ as their Savior, then, not as a part of salvation, but simply because of salvation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And by the way, Jesus said, and if you do that, lo, I'm with you always until the end of the earth. Now, that is Bible missions. That pattern has been followed for more than 2,000 years, and countless millions have been saved and added to the rolls of heaven. That excites me. But I will tell you what excites me more is that we're not finished. The gospel is not done going around the world. The gospel is not done going around the world. We are not finished. There are still more people who need to be saved, more churches that need to be started. And praise the Lord, there are still people who are willing to answer God's call to go and tell the untold millions. Now, that's what Missions Conference is all about. This morning, we focused on those who are around us and our responsibility to give them the gospel. That is, to those who are without the gospel. And tonight, I want us to think about those abroad and the importance of it. Now, really, think in your mind, why is it that we have a missions conference every year? What's so important about having a missions conference? We cannot afford to think of it as just another service. We cannot afford to think of it as just, well, you know, it's just another reason that pastors, they put these on the calendar to torture people. Like, we don't have a life. And then we don't have anything better to do, so pastor just dreams up these things to make people miserable. No, that's not my job, though that may happen on occasion. I may make you miserable. Unbeknownst to me, what I'm trying to do is help you. What I'm trying to do is encourage you. What I'm trying to do is equip you and encourage you for the work of the ministry. And really, the ministry and the work of the ministry is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how better to do it than to preach the Bible. I don't know how better to do it than to provoke you by questions and saying, listen, you need to answer this question for yourself. If you believe the gospel, then you believe that it's not just for you. It's for everyone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all is, everybody is a candidate for salvation. Now, we have a missions conference for many, many reasons, but I want to boil them down to you tonight with three specific reasons. Why is it that it's so important? Why is it that it really is something necessary for, I believe, every New Testament local church? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, I believe it's important because it's an opportunity for us to regain our spiritual eyesight. To regain our spiritual eyesight. You notice the words in our text where Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, say ye not, are there 4 months and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, for their fields are white already into harvest. Now look, I don't know who they were, but I know those bunch of ragtag guys that were following Jesus, somebody looked on the wheat fields. In fact, maybe all of them did. I'm sure that somebody looked on the physical harvest field, the wheat or the corn that was by, and thought, I wonder what he's talking about. And they missed it. They missed all the people that Jesus was talking about. You see, remember the context. The Samaritan woman had got saved. She went and told all these people. And the men came out of the city and the people came out to see Jesus. That's the context. All of these people came out to see Jesus. And Jesus said, look, lift up your eyes. But I still don't know that they really did. And that's the importance of missions conference. You know what it is? To lift up our eyes. It's to regain our spiritual eyesight. We're very familiar with the story. God was trying to get his followers, the Lord was, to get them to look up. You could say, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves. But there are a lot of things we need to get our eyes off of, to look at the people in need. We're familiar with his command for us then to do the same. Are your eyes where they should be? Your spiritual eyes, are they where they should be? I'm talking about your eyesight. We're talking about regaining our spiritual eyesight. Because to be honest with you, first of all, we get sidetracked by the peripherals, don't we? Things that really don't matter. Let's say it this way. Things that aren't eternal. They tend to, the peripherals. You know what I'm talking about, peripheral vision, right? There's the side of your eyes here where you see things. And when motion comes into your eyes, you're immediately attracted to it. Immediately. Something comes on the side of the road. Something comes in, you're concentrating on something. And this is how I know it's true, because the people that sit all the way in the back of the church, when somebody moves, they always go, whoop, and they look over there. Somebody gets up and goes to the bathroom, they look and get over there. By the way, that's why your children need to go to the bathroom before church, okay? Now, that's my plug. But the fact of the matter is, motion changes your focus, doesn't it? The fact of the matter is, we get so sidetracked by the peripherals. By the way, our soul is full of attractions. The world that we live in is full of attractions and distractions and factions. And if we're not careful, the things in the peripheral, the things that don't matter, take our attention away. I said jokingly today to Brother McCrossin, and he put me in my place. I said, because the Steelers lost their football game today. And I said, something to the effect of too bad the Squealers lost today. And you know what he said? He said, I don't care about things like that. That's what he said. And I believe him. I really don't believe him. I think he was lying. But the fact is, watch, we can get so sidetracked for something as stupid as 22 men running around for a little 9 or 10 inch piece of pig leather, trying to run it up and down the field. We can get more distracted with football than we can our faith in the gospel. We can get more distracted by some baseball team or by some, let's just say this, we get more distracted by our own job. We can get distracted by a plethora of things. I could say tonight, if you could think of a distraction from taking our eyes off of what our purpose is in this life, we could spend the next hour and everybody would say, this distracts me sometimes. This is a distraction. This is a distraction. We know that. And yet Jesus, the first thing he does, because they weren't getting it. That motley crew of disciples was not getting it. And Jesus was trying to get them to do one thing. Lift up your eyes. I want your spiritual eyesight to change. I want you to put on this, the lens of Scripture. I want you to look through the Spirit of God and see what you are missing. People all around you without Christ that need him. Matthew 13 and verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And listen, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know what happens when the peripherals distract you? You become unfruitful. All of a sudden, you're more taken with something else. Missions Conference is our opportunity to get our eyes back on the main thing, that is the need for people to be saved all over the world. It's for us to regain our spiritual eyesight because we are simply sidetracked by peripherals. Secondly, letter B, we get blindsided by the unexpected. The unexpected, what do you mean? You realize that everything happens in this world, everything evil and everything bad, everything disastrous, things like death, hurricanes, earthquakes, all the world's turmoil politically or geographically. Listen, those things should not surprise or shock us. They shouldn't. It's going to get worse. Do you understand that? That this world is not getting better because of mankind and because of sin. And that shouldn't shock us. So I think what's happened in a generation past or several is that all of this stuff is going down and we look at it and we go, ah, the world is going bonkers and I don't understand it. And we crawl into our shell. And we go, oh, how appalling is that? And Christians lose their voice because of something unexpected. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light of the world. Walk as children of the light. We shouldn't be surprised or shocked because we're children of the light. Whatever happens by the way of darkness shouldn't throw us into some despair. We should be able to say, oh, you know what? That just tells me that the day's getting closer and I must redeem the time because the days are certainly evil. In light of all that is unexpected, we ought to be more earnest about our mission. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It didn't shock him. It didn't keep him from losing his spiritual eyesight. He wasn't blindsided by the unexpected. Thirdly, we get burdened by the physical. Everything that this world is designed by Satan's moving and instrumentation is to get us distracted from the main thing. Everything that happens in this world is that way. As Christians, many times we settle, I believe, on lower ground instead of pressing on to higher ground. We settle for lower ground instead of pressing on to higher ground. Let me ask you a question. I think you know the answer to this. In real estate, what are the three most important words? It is location. Now, there's like three of you that know that, and the rest of you are like, I've never heard that before in my life. What are the three most important words in real estate? Ready? Location. Did you know the same is true in Christianity? Watch this. We get so burdened down with the physical life that we live and its difficulties and its trials that we forget where we are supposed to be. Listen to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That sounds to me like the three most important words to the Christian are location, location, location. Where am I supposed to be? At the feet of Jesus. What am I supposed to be seeing there? The need of everybody around me. Because I'm not looking at myself. And I'm looking at the sacrifice that Jesus made. In fact, this is what he said about his yoke. Now, wait a minute. That means for me to yoke up with Jesus, is to do whatever Jesus' job is to do. Jesus is the one that said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. He came, according to John, to seek and to save sinners. According to Paul, of whom I am chief. That's Jesus' job. So now, if location is key, it's not just... See, here's what we get in our mindset for Christianity, is that I want to get close to Jesus so he can help me. Jesus said, no, no, there's a yoke involved. That's not to help you, though you're helped when you get there. It's so that you can help me. It's so that you can help others. Notice what he says. He finishes it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is missions conference so important? Because it helps us to regain our spiritual eyesight. Missions conference is a special time to make sure that your eyes are not on yourself, not on your surroundings, but on the Savior and on the souls of the lost. That's what missions conference is about. Secondly, it's not just to regain our spiritual eyesight, it's to refresh our faith in God. We're going to have people who are called to go to various countries all over this world, and one who has already faithfully served really all of his life. Kenny Keck is coming from Papua New Guinea, and he's coming back on furlough, and he's going to report of what God has done through him and his family there, and through his mom and daddy there, who we've supported for years. And that is a privilege that we have. And here's the key. One of my favorite passages, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a minute? One of my favorite passages of scriptures are these verses that we're about to read in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 5, if you will. Beginning in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is, what's the next two words? By faith. Now that tells me a lot about these men. Unequipped with the written word of God, they lived in the same culture of evil imaginations and inventions. You read the text. But they never lost their focus. They never lost their faith. They trusted God, therefore they pleased God. Now get it. That day was awful. It was so awful in the eyes of God, it repented the Lord that he had made man, according to Genesis chapter 6. I will therefore destroy the world by a flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Enoch and Noah lived in the same counter-God culture. He lived in a wicked, wicked, vile time when God was so disturbed by what he saw that he was going to destroy mankind. These two men, in the midst of that, had faith in God. And they did what they did by faith in God. And when they did that, they pleased God. Both of them, without a doubt, without even having it written in the Word of God, you could say both Enoch and Noah found the grace of God. Both Enoch and Noah pleased God. Why? Because they moved by faith. Now watch this. Missions conference is an opportunity to refresh my faith in several ways. First of all, my faith in God's work around the world. My faith in God's work around the world. Now watch, when I lift up my eyes and my spiritual eyesight is regained, okay, what happens then is I begin to see, hey, you know what? God is working in other places. There is more people in this world beside me, myself, and I. There are other people whom God is using and whom God wants to reach other than me, myself, and I. Do you see what I'm getting to? You see, I begin to now say, okay, wait a minute. I get to see. Now I'm lifting up my eyes, God, and that means that what I see, I can trust you for. And I believe that you're working. By the way, in case you don't know that, God is at work all over the world. By the way, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, in that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, church, that means that everybody living today, God wants to save. By the way, he's got grace enough to save everybody. But everybody's not being reached. Now, that does not mean that God is not at work. Because of that verse, I have faith that God is at work. The way I look at it is this. If God has a worldwide burden, then so should I. If God wants all men to be saved, then so should I. If he is long-suffering with a sin-sick world, then so should I be. If he was willing to come and die for that world, then I should be willing to go and tell them about why he died. The fact of the matter is, God is at work all over the world. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to have Kenny Keck, who's coming to from Papua New Guinea, and he's bringing his new baby with him. And I told you this last week about a couple weeks ago, about the Papua New Guinea, the PNG Bible Project that I'm hoping to be a part of. This week, we're going to not just meet the missionary from there, but I wanted to show a video tonight just to kind of help you understand, what is God really doing in Papua New Guinea? How is it even possible? I wonder if we could go ahead and show that. This is several minutes long, so just relax and listen to what God's doing.
Papua New Guinea, over 800 dialects. There's so many different peoples. You go from the coast, they're a certain way. You go to the highlands, they're a certain way. You go to Bougainville, they're a certain way. These are all provinces in the country. They're very diverse in their cultures. Coastal people, fishers, and lobster, crabs, things like that. You go to the highlands, it's coffee and things of that nature. They're just very diverse. They're very beautiful people. They're very happy people.
When you get to talk to them, they have a big warm smile. They really are just lovely people deep down, and very kind and very gracious.
God is working in the country of Papua New Guinea. Many of the government officials have expressed the unique desire to see their country built upon biblical principles. They realize that if this is going to become a reality, they need to get God's word into the hands of their people.
I think the key to turning Papua New Guinea around is the gospel, truly preached. The word of God being taught by people to apply it in their daily life.
The Papua New Guinea Bible Project is the opportunity that we have to get Bibles to every student in the entire country. Phase one of our project is to get Bibles to all the high school students, grade 9 through 12. Phase two of the project is going to be grades 4 through 8, and then phase three is going to be grades 1 through 3. And we have raised the money needed for the high school levels.
I'm here in Papua New Guinea, on ground, giving out Bibles to young people. We fundraised in America. You folks have given. Many folks have given. We're literally here putting them into the hands of secondary students. We go into a school. We have an assembly. We give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we personally put the Bibles into their hands. We don't just give them to the schools. We put them in the hands. One of the first words we say is, put your name in it. It's your Bible. And that's what we're here doing.
The Bible Project that we have been introduced to, it is gaining momentum right now, and it's getting popularity. This project is a great project because it is the Bible that can transform the lives. It has transformed me, and I fully believe 100% that the Bible can transform lives.
Ever since this Bible Project began with Brother Alan Brooks, Brother Steve Maldorf, we've traveled together in many places, and we've gone together, seeing Brother Alan doing the presentation, distributing the Bibles. I've really seen what the Lord is moving with this Bible project. As we hand out the Bible to the young people, we've seen the excitement, the enthusiasm. And after this, it's just leading to the churches, and we've seen a lot of souls getting saved.
My name is Matt Allen. I'm a missionary here in Papua New Guinea. My family and I, we've been here for about 14 years. So we've been able to be a part, our church here has been able to be a part in two of the high schools. So we were at Badihagwa High School, which was just up the road here, and it was just about 2,000 students there, which was phenomenal. So I got to preach to them for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, something like that, and gave them the gospel about as clear as you can get. And it was just unreal. They were on the edge of their seat, so to speak, as they're just listening, and there was an excitement in the air as they all knew they were getting ready to get a Bible, because they don't get them. They don't get a Bible. And so this is a huge thing for them. We did a stamp in the back with our church contact on it, and I'm still getting, about every other day, I'm still getting text messages from people that I don't even know. And that's been a month ago. And we've got people just coming to church. We've got young people that are coming to church, new ones every Sunday. It's just been unreal. The impact is we've been able to put the Bible into their hands, but then the follow-up onto that is they've been just coming.
I believe with all my heart that this Bible project is making an impact. To the extent of it, I don't know for sure. I know on the first surface, I see souls saved. I've seen people baptized. I've seen folks in church. It's making an impact. It's making a difference in the lives. But I think in the long term, the Word of God's going to continue to grow into the hearts of these young people. Churches are going to grow. Christians are going to be discipled. They're going to win other people to the Lord. We're going to have preachers. These are the leaders of tomorrow.
We are currently working on phase one of getting the Bibles to all the high school students across this land. But we are also actively, at the same time, raising the money for phase two.
We've asked folks to donate $3 per Bible. All that money goes towards getting those Bibles into the hands.
We have some money that's come in, but it is nowhere near the amount that is needed to complete the goal of getting Bibles out to over 1 million 4th through 8th graders. That's a big project. But we have an open door. And as long as the money comes in, we're going to use that money to get Bibles into the hands of these students, along with the presentation of the gospel.
If you're interested in becoming involved in this, number one, you can go to www.bimi.org. There's a banner there that says Papua New Guinea Bible Project. I want to personally thank you for being involved in this. You may not have been able to give, but I know many have been praying. Money will get us here. But it's the prayers of God's people that will keep us here and get the job done. So I want to thank you for praying, and please continue. And then if God burdens your heart, would you give and share it? If you're on Facebook, you're on different things, share it with other friends. There's folks out there that want involved, but they don't know what's even going on. You can give, you can share, you can pray. And then, hey, maybe you can come. There's been many people that have come, but we'll still need more help. I want to thank you so much for praying for us and all you're doing. And please keep the Papua New Guinea Bible Project up front and praying for it.
Amen. Any country that would open their doors and say, we want this Bible to be our national Bible, and them contacting them and saying, would you please get the Bible to every single student in the land? I just know God honors that. Now listen, I believe that a missions conference is that important, because it restores, it refreshes our faith in that God is working, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We put God sometimes, I think, in too small of a box. We think he's only concerned with right here in Morgan Hill, California, or just America. No. God's concerned about the world. Everybody in it. He wants them to know about Jesus Christ. The good thing about this project is that I'm hoping and praying that we will be involved in it. And I'm going to tell you how in this next point. First of all, we need to refresh our faith in God, or faith in his work around the world. Since secondly, our faith in his provision for us. Do you know why he provides for you? So that you can provide for ministry. That is why He provides for you. Here's a good verse for you to learn. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, the context of that, church, is that the non-believing Gentiles were working so that they could have the food and the raiment and have the success of the riches. And God says, okay, I want you to understand that you're not supposed to be that way. Here's what I want you to do. He said, disciples, I want you to seek me first and let me worry about that. So in essence, when God sees me seeking him by faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6, then God says, I will take care of all of this because you've sought me. Now, if I'm seeking God and he gives me all this, now I have an opportunity to give even more. Now I have an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, since I've sought you, I've lifted up my eyes. And I see the need, like in Papua New Guinea. And I believe that you've provided for me in such a way, because he has provided for all of us, amen? I believe that you provided for me in such a way that now I am going to provide for those that cannot provide for themselves. Now I'm going to give. And this is a very biblical thing. Notice in your notes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent, notice this, once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Beginning Wednesday night, my heart is to tell you this, and I'll send an email out to the with the details tomorrow. I would like to have our church on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, each night, take an offering for the PNG Bible Project. So before we give our commitments on 12 months to missions and say, Lord, above my tithe, how much more do you want me to give to missionaries? Because we're going to support our missionaries at $100 a month. I want to know, Lord, what you want me to do to put a Bible in the hands of a little boy or a little girl in Papua New Guinea. So the question is, how many Bibles do you want to send? $3 a copy. Well, I want to send 10 Bibles. Then that'll cost you $30. And by the way, it will be far worth it when you get to heaven. Okay? Because the Word of God is what transforms lives. The Word is quick. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. These people have never had that. And the people who've never had the gospel have never had somebody stand and with the freedom. Do you understand that this verse in Philippians 4, verse 15, is the result of what we read today in Acts chapter 18. When Silas and Timothy came unto Paul, they delivered the gift from the Philippians. Now he writes back to Philippi and says, hey, you once and again, this isn't the first time you've given to me. You continue to give so that others can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's missions. God provides for us so that we can provide for others. What is that? Faith. It requires faith to say, Lord, I'm going to take of what you've given to me, and I'm going to give it so that somebody can have a Bible. I'm going to take what you've given to me so that I can send and make sure Brother Kenny Keck stays in Papua New Guinea. I'm going to give what you've given to me so I can send Brother Jimmy Pack to Japan because Japanese people need to be saved. I'm going to take what you've given to me, God, and I'm going to give it so that Brother Bui can get to Indonesia. All of these people need to go, and we need to send them. We refresh our faith in God. It helps us to remember, you know what? I depend on God. I'm convinced that God blesses his people so they can use what he gives them to help others come to know Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, in the context of giving, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, what is grace? It's the unmerited favor of God. But if I show grace to you, it's my unmerited favor to you. So that you would abound in this grace also. He's teaching the church at Corinth, what we talked about today in Acts chapter 18. He's saying, now listen, you said when I blew through the first time that you were provoked by these people and you committed that you were going to give. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he comes back and says, now I'm back here so that you can prove your commitment. I'm back here so that you can now fulfill what you've said. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And he goes on to explain this matter of sacrifice and the importance of it. And this is what he says to them who are getting ready to take an offering in the church of Corinth. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also, what's the next word? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also, what's the next word? Bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Now that's really where it all runs down to, isn't it? What am I going to purpose to give? What am I going to purpose to make sure that Bibles get to Papua New Guinea? What am I going to purpose over a 12-month commitment period to make sure that missionaries get to and stay on the mission field? You say, well, Pastor, don't they need our prayers? Yeah, they do need your prayers. They need your prayers very badly. Money will get them there. Prayer will keep them there. We learned that. But they also need your purpose. As every man purposes in his heart, so let him give. The Bible says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What's a grudging gift? Me guilting you into giving? Me saying, now come on, George, look, you need to put some more on the plate. We're going to pass it around again. And then you give. That's grudgingly. I feel guilted into doing it because pastor's guilting me. I don't want you to give because I'm telling you to give. Or I don't want you to feel guilted into it. I want you to give because the Lord told you to give. If the Holy Spirit of God does not want you involved in missions, then don't be involved in missions. But as sure as I'm standing here, I believe with all my heart, based on the authority of Scripture, that God wants all of his children involved in missions. If the church at Philippi did it, if Paul went back to the church at Corinth and said, hey, listen to what they did. If he went back and said, hey, look, this is what the churches in Macedonia given, and their poverty, they gave them themselves, and he was using that to solidify a faith commitment from Corinth, then I think it's right what we're doing here tonight. What we'll do next Sunday night will determine our faith in what God has given to us. The importance of missions conference. The question is, do you trust the Lord with what you have? That if you actually give it for his work, that he will bless you for giving. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down and shaking together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Ecclesiastes 11:1, wisest man in the world said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. God said, in the way of giving, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour ye out a blessing, that ye shall not be, there shall not be room enough to receive it. What's he talking about? Tithes and offerings. There's a difference. One belongs to God. The other one belongs to you until you give it to God. The tithe is the Lord's. According to Scripture, I can't get any more plain than that. But the offering is what I say, Lord, by faith. You'll read this if you actually study the Old Testament. It is a free will offering. The tithe is not an offering. That's the Lord's. I have what the Lord has given me, and I have something that belongs to him, so I'm going to return it. That's the tithe. The offering is something that belongs to me. That's the leftover of the tithe, the 90% of my gross that God's given to me. Now, I'm going to either give it or not, free willingly. I'm going to, not free willy. I almost said free willy. I'm going to freely give willingly what God lays on my heart. Now, you'll recall, this is the cool part about grace giving. When the people of Israel decided to get involved in free will offerings, you know what they had to do? They went to them and they said, hey, you guys need to stop giving because you are giving way too much. Now, I've never personally been in a church that had that problem. I've never even known a preacher to say, hey, you know what? You guys need to stop giving. We have way more money than we could possibly use. But that's what happened to them. Do you know why? Because God got a hold of their heart. They said, man, God got us out of Egypt. He brought us over here. He's provided for us. How could we not give? The importance of missions conference to regain our spiritual eyesight. Let me ask you a question. Have you been distracted? Maybe in the last 12 months, you've stopped giving your missions commitment because in your mind's eye, the devil has decided to convince you that you've got to do something else with what you promised to God. And I would caution you that if you made a vow to God, you better pay it, because it's going to cost you more if you don't. I'm just telling you, don't play around with a commitment to God. It would be better not to vow than to pay, not to vow and not pay, according to the Bible. So when we make our commitments, don't get distracted. When I make our commitments, I don't want to lose faith in what God has given to me and what I'm giving. That's the importance of missions conference. We regain our spiritual eyesight. It refreshes our faith in God. Thirdly, and we're done, it reinforces our commitment to Christ. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It reinforces our commitment to Christ in two ways. First of all, by working together. By working together. There's a statement that I learned years ago in Bible college, and that is this: teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work. There's something very reviving and powerful about being in one accord with one another for a spiritual endeavor. Trusting, obeying, and serving God together for the faith of the gospel is exactly how the gospel turned the first century world completely upside down. According to the Bible tells us that we are laborers together with God. And as we meet together to rally around missionaries, as we foster a heart to support them and send them, it strengthens our commitment to Christ and our bond as a church. Why? Because we are striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are working together. We have decided to couple together. We are all yoking up with Jesus. There is nothing more powerful than God's people putting their hands together, their hearts together, and their money together for the Lord. There is nothing more powerful. And I'll prove it to you. Turn to Acts chapter 2. There is nothing that changes more lives than a group of Jesus followers who are willing to strive together with a purpose for the faith of the gospel. The plan is striving together. The purpose is for the faith of the gospel, that we would stand fast, that we would stay perpetually committed. We need to have a missions conference because we need to recommit ourselves to Christ each and every opportunity. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were, hey, look, there's a familiar word. What's the next word? Together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. That's giving. And they continuing daily with one accord. That's synonymous with together. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And notice what it says. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, that's what happens. When we work together, it reinforces our commitment to Christ together. That commitment is reinforced by working together. Secondly, by subjecting ourselves to the will of God. By subjecting ourselves to the will of God. Now, in case you don't believe that missions is the perfect will of God for your life, I challenge you to read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Before you read verse 19, you need to be familiar with verse 18. All power, that is all authority, has been given unto me under heaven. Therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Now, in case there may be someone here that's still in the mindset, well, that was to the disciples. Well, if that was to the disciples, then and they did all they can do, then how do we get here? Because it's not just for the disciples, friend. It's for every Christian that's ever been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the important of it. When we subject ourselves to the will of God, God reinforces our commitment to Him. through the preaching of God's word, through the fellowship of God's people. Would you turn one last time to Colossians chapter 1 and we're done. Anything that points you in the direction of God's work toward humanity will strengthen your commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's what Missions Conference does. Missions Conference is going to open up the world to us. Many of you had from what I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, you had an idea kind of what was going on in Papua New Guinea, but now you have a much more understanding. And you're going to get another side of it when Kenny gets here. When we expose ourselves and subject ourselves to the will of God for us and for all people, it reinforces our commitment to Christ and why we're here and still alive. So look at Colossians chapter 1. This is the heart of a church planner, a missionary. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at where? Colossae. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word, the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Watch this, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, that is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Here's the whole purpose of this: that in all things he might have preeminence. That's the whole commitment to Christ. Now, you could say it this way: if there's any other reason, one of the reasons that we have a missions conference is that Christ would be preeminent in all things. That you would see him for who he is, the creator and sustainer of your life. That you would see him as the redeemer, not just yours, but the redeemer of the whole world. So truly, to be honest, I could never overexpress the importance of such a conference, because it is as much for us as it is for the missionaries. It's our opportunity to show the Lord how serious we are about his final command. My best friend in all the ministry before he died, Dr. Greg Baker, stood in this pulpit and he said, Christ's final command must be our first concern. I'll never forget it. When he said it the very first time, it moved me immediately, and I thought, well, there it is. That's the sum total of Jesus Christ being preeminent in my life, that his last and final command, the last words that he uttered before he went up to heaven, was go and teach all nations. His final command must be my first concern. Then and only then can I honestly stand before the bar of God and say, you have preeminence in my life. What you did on the cross takes preeminence. Who you are is my Lord. As Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the question that we need to answer this week. I cannot overexpress the importance of missions conference, because it is at a missions conference that we hear the burden of the world and we regain our spiritual eyesight. We get our eyes off of what's around us and peripherally has distracted us. Our doubt goes away. Why? Because we refresh our faith in God. And by the preaching of the word of God and by the Holy Spirit leading us to give and sacrifice, what happens? We reinforce our commitment to Jesus Christ. And at the last amen, we leave with a clear conscience and we're bettered. We've decided to please God. Remember Enoch? Because before his translation, he had this testimony: that he pleased God. The next verse tells us how. By faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we have faith promise. My faith in the promise of God that he's going to provide for after what I give. Once I take of what's mine and I give, knowing that he's given me to provide for me that, and I'm willing to give that away so that others can have what I already have, God says, I'll provide for that. That is faith in the promise that he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because remember, if he gave you Jesus, he's going to freely with him give you all things that you need. That's the importance of Missions Conference. Now, there's several things I want you to do tonight during the invitation. Number one, I want you to pray and ask yourself, have my eyes been in the right place? Because if it's not, then I need Missions Conference. Is my faith where it needs to be in God? Do I want to be involved in God's work? Because if not, then you need to refresh your faith in God. You need to have a reinforcement of your commitment to Christ. That means this, that we need to be here Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Why? Because all three of those things take place every single night. And when I come with a seeking heart saying, God, I want to be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and thanksgiving because I want you to be preeminent in my life. Do you know what God's going to do? God's going to show you exactly what you need to do. He's going to let you be involved in his worldwide work of missions around the world. You know what? I honestly cannot wait. In the last 13 years, I think we're now over something like $1.5, $1.6 million to missions. And that might not be a big deal to a lot of people in some of the mega churches, but that's mega for us. That's awesome. That means that people like you and I, average Joes, have decided, you know what? I want to personally support 10 missionaries a month. That's $1,000, friend. Some of you may say, you know what? I think I can support 3 missionaries by myself. That's $300 a month. Some of you may say, you know what? I'm just going to be able to give about $25 a month. So over the course of the year, then as you promise to give, it doesn't matter how big or small. Okay, what matters is, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I being faithful in what God's called me to do? That's the importance of Missions Conference. Now look, you can have your life touched and changed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, soul winning on Saturday, and on Sunday if you want to. You can. By the way, you can not have it changed and challenged if you want to. You can either not attend or come and not be willing to participate. That's between you and the Lord. Okay? But here's what I know. When we act by faith, God's pleased. Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. And if we're true Christians, by that definition, then wouldn't we want to be like Christ? After all, that's why he came. Now, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, we're going to take an offering. That's for the Papua New Guinea Project. Would you pray tonight? Say, Lord, how many Bibles can me and my family send to little boys and girls between 4th and 8th grade that I can personally say? Now look, our names are not going to be in there, and I don't really think it matters. God knows. God keeps better records than we do, amen? How many Bibles do you want to send? Between now and next Sunday, pray. God, what would you have our family to give above our tithe and maybe our regular missions? Look, some of you have been given to missions for a long time. The question is, are you giving enough? No, that's between you and God. If you can do more, then I think God will lead you in what you need to do and more. If you can't, then God knows. You can go to bed with a clear conscience. I'm just here to give you the opportunity to give and follow the Lord. This week, when missionaries come, would you go and be friendly to them? And not superficially. Hey, glad you're coming. Where are you going? Can I have your prayer card? And then go sit down and then just think about yourself. Okay? I mean, sincerely. Because the next Sunday night when they leave here, you'll have a relationship with them. You'll be able to look them in the face. Say, hey, I remember meeting Jimmy Peck. When we read his prayer letter, or when we give a video and Jimmy Peck's given what God's doing over there, you're saying, man, I'm so glad that I know that guy. You could tell somebody, oh yeah, I know a guy in Japan. His name's Jimmy Peck. What does he do? Oh, he's a missionary. There's an open door. All of that is what I want our church to be involved in this week. And I hope that you will. I hope that you'll sense and participate the importance of Missions Conference. Let's pray tonight. Father, we do love you and we thank you for your grace and your goodness. I pray, God, that you please use this next week in a glorious way. And really, Lord, this message was not intended necessarily to draw some major conviction out, but Lord, I know it's been very convicting to me to think about what I need to be doing for the gospel's sake around the world. Certainly, Lord, it goes without saying that I have no business taking and investing in the gospel around the world if I'm not willing to invest in the gospel right where I live. If I'm not willing to witness to people right in the own crown that you've given me and the opportunities that you've given me, Lord, I can't replace that by sending a few bucks to Papua New Guinea. The responsibility is worldwide. It starts in my Jerusalem. But it doesn't end. This globe is full, 7 billion people, the vast, vast majority of which are ignorant of the gospel of Christ. Lord, I pray that you do a great work this week in our missions conference. I pray that even tonight we would begin to pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I pray that you would help us all, Lord, this week to regain our spiritual eyesight, even tomorrow as we go back to work. Help us to see people in their need. Help their hurt to be in our heart. Give us compassion. And I pray, God, that as the week progresses, that we would then make sure that our eyes stay in the right places and not get distracted by so many trivial things. Help us to remember the eternal things. Those are the things that matter. That in all things you might have preeminence. We pray this to the glory and honor and majesty of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me tonight with your heads bowed and eyes closed? I'm going to have Miss Stolnaker play. And I don't know if you need to come tonight to this altar and maybe begin the missions conference week just by making sure that your faith is right, that your eyesight is right, that your heart is right. I don't know, but this would be a good time. Maybe right there in your seat, you just need to start asking the Lord to search you and to try you and make sure that your heart is ripe and ready for the Lord to do a work. What is it that God wants you to do? I don't know that, but He'll tell you if you seek Him. He will tell you. He'll give you a peace about exactly what you need to do. In every offering that's taken, in every commitment, He'll show you.